Israel thing taking off like yesterday. I love it. It's the beginning of World War III. I'm like, man, we'll know when it's the beginning of World War III. Like, you'll know. I think that these are all these precursors. The wars and rumors of wars, and we know that Israel is a stumbling block and stuff like that. Well, Larry and I were talking about it. You know, last night they launched these kamikaze drones, and then they launched some of their missiles, and only one really hit the ground. Everything else was shot out of the sky, and you did it. Israel responded back with blowing up one of the largest weapons caches in Lebanon that Hezbollah owns, just blew it up last night as retaliation. And this morning, the Ayatollah of Iran came out and said, we're satisfied with our response. Now, here's the deal when you understand when you're dealing with the enemy. I do not believe a word that he says was satisfying of their response. It's a lie. They're not satisfied. You got to understand the religion and the culture. You got to understand how they do it. When we were serving over there, guys would openly lie to me. Openly lie. You'd catch them in their lie. But they don't believe they're lying, because in their faith, they believe if it's for the greater good of Allah or for the greater good of their family, it's not a lie. So they will openly lie. Man, Jesus said all the time, man, it's like we're to be people of integrity, people of truth, people of speaking that. Like Jesus says, man, you're from your father, the devil. He's filled with lies from the beginning. You cannot have lies and let it be justified as truth. So there's a lot to that that we need to be on guard for and that we watch over and all that stuff. And so, but I think we watch it as believers, but don't let it set fear in your heart. Like, I'm not going to let the media control what I think, right? I was watching this clip, I don't know, and get into it, of just some stuff on George Orwell, 1984. And I was watching this video, I think they're trying to do a TV show on it or something. And, you know, in the book it said, I remember reading it way back in the day, but then in the book it says, freedom is actually slavery. That's what the government teaches. Freedom is slavery. 2 + 2 isn't 4. And so the author is coming back, you know, 1984, saying, yes, 2 + 2 is 4. And freedom, lack of freedom, is slavery. And so this agenda by this, let me pray real quick, because this is going to get deep. Gracious Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you do. Open our hearts to your word. Be with Dave as he recovers. Lord, be with the nation of Israel as they fight off and crush evil. Lord, be with Lisa and the team as they're and Woody and all them up there, Liz and Ms. Dorma and all the other people. Be with them, Lord. May they continue to advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Open our heart to your words. Amen. Now I'll tell you, man, I'm the biggest TV fan on the planet. I like watching shows. But I watched this thing this week, which is very interesting. And so it goes all the way back to before there was TVs. It goes all the way back into like the Stonehenge era. It goes back into mediums and those who practice witchcraft. Okay? And so they had no way to get the message out unless they brought everything into people into something that they could talk about, then they could disperse them out. All right? And so what does TV stand for? Anyone know? The television. They used to bring, the ancient druids would bring people together and these ancient warlocks and stuff, and they would, what? They would gather people together in a large group and they would tell a vision. This is serious. I was watching it at first, I thought, kooks. And then as they watched it and they were going historically, I said, holy cow. And then they were programming a television, and that is to program you, right? The media, different things, it's programming. How do we see it? We see kids being programmed daily. We were all programmed. We were programmed to believe anything that the news said. program, program, program. When you turn on the TV, what do you look for? Programs. It's a television. It's telling a vision, and it's a program with the agenda that they want you, whether you swing hard right or hard left. You're going to be programmed to what they want you to be programmed to. Make no mistake about it. It's an actual, this psychological operation that Satan's been at for years and years and years. That's why God says to us all the time, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let the truth lead you. Search everything. There's so many people that just believe anything on the internet. It's just crazy to me. Anything that any pastor says, they believe it. It's like, yo, whoa, man, check everything. The Breans did it. You don't have to be critical, but you've got to at least understand that if you're not reading the Word of God, then you're not going to have the checks and balance system in your life. And you need that check and balance system so that the Spirit, when you're reading, can speak to your mind so that you recognize that which is not true. Or question it, like, that doesn't seem right. It's what's happening here in the last book of Judges. It's happening today. But it's happening in the last book of Judges. You've heard me tell you, this picture of, it happened then, it's almost a prophecy of what's going to happen in the future of the last days that we live in. And it's like, wow, especially the last couple books, the last couple chapters. So this one, in chapter 21, we'll finish out today, of Judges. It has to deal with wives. I mean, your Bibles may say concubines. But it's specifically dealing with the tribe of Benjamin. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, the tribe of Benjamin. But I need to go through and give us an understanding of what is happening here. So here's what it says. Back at Mizpah, the men of Israel had taken an oath. No man among us will give his daughter to a Benjamite in marriage. Now remember, the Benjamites raped that girl. The guy went out, cut her up, sent her to all the 11 tribes, said, this is what we're going to be about? Is this what we're about? How are you going to deal with this? They went in, they slaughtered them. Now, there's interesting, and I'm going to talk about this, about the tribe of Benjamin. Because certain individuals have come from the tribe of Benjamin. And so, but there's we have to guard our hearts. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you don't have you may have the propensity to commit dark or align yourself with dark and justify it. But we see this, when I read this, it just is so, there's a lot to it. And so I'm going to go through it with us so we have an understanding. Now back in Bethel, the people sat at the presence of God until evening. Now the people, there's a legitimate pain that they're feeling. Okay? The 11 tribes of Israel are before God. There's a legitimate pain. They're feeling lost. What? Because part of their family is cut off. And not everyone enjoys war. Not everyone enjoys battle. Not everyone enjoys killing. So we see the story within the story. This is a legitimate, part of them is legitimately hurting here. And so they're there and they said, why, O God, God of Israel, has this happened? Why do we find ourselves today missing one whole tribe from Israel? They also realize, because they go back to the covenant and everything, the 12 tribes, Joseph, the whole thing. And so they're stung right here. They're being pulled between religion, what their religion is, and the actual emotion of a human being. They know what God has promised, but they also know what they feel. And you have to ask yourself, you know, if you're online, New York, South Carolina, wherever you're watching, that is the same thing with us, is that we are sometimes torn. We're torn with our relationship with God that we know is truth, but we're also torn with what we feel. There's something within us that we're struggling with spiritually. We know the truth. We know the right thing, but we struggle spiritually with it. It is this dynamic that you'll never be able to escape. Ever. You can only be guided through it. And the guidance you receive will be by the guidance that you pick. If you pick God, if you pick Yahweh, if you pick Jesus, He's going to guide you through with His Holy Ghost through the situation. If you pick yourself, you're going to make the best decision you possibly can make. Here's the danger with that. The problem with that is this. Is that when Adam and Eve ate of the garden of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you got to understand what that is. Sin entered the world because of their disobedience. But what fruit did they? People think about the forbidden fruit and they think, oh, sin entered the world, sin entered the world. And that's it. No, something bigger happened. Sin is horrible, but something bigger happened. One, they chose another god, which is huge. But second, what was the tree? What was the fruit they ate? What's it called? The knowledge of good and evil. And mankind cannot, in our state, we are incapable of judging good and evil. We cannot carry that on our shoulders. We're incapable of righteous judgment. Because the moment they did that, the covenant was broken. This is upon them. And suddenly they can't see. What God can see is the end as the beginning and the beginning as the end. We only see the circumstance that we see, so we can't judge it fairly. How many of you have been duped into evil? But at first it looks so good. It looked so good. And it felt right. And then boom! The oh crap moment. How'd this happen? Because you or myself were not created to judge. We don't have the knowledge of good and evil. That's God's department. That's why God said to them, do not partake of that tree. Because your eyes will be opened up to see something you cannot comprehend. I cannot, to my life of me, comprehend some of the atrocities that happen to human beings. I see it, and I cannot comprehend it. One time when I was younger, I'm a history guy, and I began to ask God, this was my first one in the mystery, I began to ask God, what was Hitler thinking? What was his mindset? And I heard the Holy Ghost as clear, say, you don't want to ask that question. And I stopped. I don't want to go into that mind. Why? Because I am incapable to understand. And in that mindset, if I go into that in my weakened humanity without God, I'll believe those lies as truth. It's what you see every day in the world. You see it. Tell me I'm lying. This is the issue we're dealing with. This is it's problematic. So that's why God says, man, you got to keep your eyes on me. I got to be the one that guides you. I've got to give you. And there are even times in your life, let's be real, that you're sitting there, you're reading the word, you're in a situation, it doesn't make sense, and yet you feel the presence of God. You know what you do? Stay in the presence of God. The rabbis say this, when you come to a point of scripture that you do not understand, roll up the scrolls when there's no answer, and go stand outside and lift your hands up to the heaven and worship the one who has the answer. Because for some of us on this side of heaven, on this side of the cross, you'll never have the answer, ever. Why? You're incapable. I am incapable of comprehending, and it would crush me. This is the love of a father. But this is also what happens to people when they take their eyes off of Jesus and they become religious, legalistic. They're more programmed than they are anything else. It's just agenda, right? Watch. Early the next morning, the people got busy and built an altar. They know what to do. They built an altar. They sacrificed whole burnt offerings and peace offerings. Lord, what we did was horrific. Battle is horrific. Lord, this is crazy. Lord, we want your honor, but Lord, our family is broken apart here. Boom, boom, boom. They're doing what they know they're supposed to do. But there's indicators here where they're jacked up in their thinking. Because some of this isn't complete. It's not from a true heart of repentance. It's from a heart of guilt. They've let wokeness and relationship fill it. Watch. Then the Israelites said, from whom all the tribes of Israel didn't show up as we gather in the presence of God. For they had all taken a sacred oath that anyone who had not gathered in the presence of God at Mizpah had to be put to death. There's a reason why this is going to be said twice. This is their out. They swore an oath in the covenant of God that those who would not worship God in the great assembly should be put to death. But as you'll see, like most men, I watched that movie, I loved the movie Tombstone. And Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp are having a discussion when they first get to Tombstone. Doc Holliday comes over, he's standing there with a group of guys, and the brothers, and Wyatt comes over and he says, man, I just got ourselves a quarter interest at the Oriental, right, at the Pharaoh table. And Doc Holliday says, I forgot, man. He goes, Wyatt, I thought you said that, you know, don't buck the tiger's odds and stuff, that Pharaoh is not an honest game. And he says, come on, Doc. And then Doc makes a statement. He says, why, Wyatt, that's what I like about you. You can talk yourself into anything. Here's a dude for his whole life, tells Doc Holliday and his brothers, man, the Pharaoh table's wrong. Don't do anything at the Pharaoh table. Odds are all in the house, blah, 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 blah. The moment he gets a chance to take a quarter interest in it, what does he do? He takes it and says, hey, this is a great game. It's a great game. This has been happening over and over. It happens in our life today. Watch what happens here. This is interesting. But the people of Israel were feeling sorry for Benjamin, their brothers. Guys, they're feeling sorry. They said, today one tribe is cut off from Israel. How can we get wives for those who are left? We have sworn to God not to give any of our daughters to them in marriage. This is how Satan works, guys. I'm going to tell you right now. Evil gets its butt whooped, and now it wants sympathy in your life. That's how Satan works. That's how corrupt politicians work. That's how they all work. Now, I'm not talking, this has nothing to do with forgiveness. Sympathy and forgiveness are two vastly different things. Forgiveness, I'm going to forgive you. Quote another movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Right? The guys get baptized in the river and they get back in the car and George Clooney's driving and the guy in the back says, man, I've been baptized. He says, I'm forgiven. And George Clooney goes, man, the Lord may have forgiven you, but the state of Mississippi hasn't. You still owe it 25 years. There's a big difference between sympathy and forgiveness. God can forgive us, and because you're forgiven of your sins and the punishment of the sin doesn't mean that you're forgiven of the murder you committed or the act of violence that you committed. There's a payment for that. God doesn't say that because you're forgiven, that's taken away. If he chooses to take that away, that's entirely up to him. That's not up to you. And we have mistaken this because it doesn't fit with us. Justice must be served. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Make no mistake about it. He died on the cross because there has to be justice. Justice for what? Justice towards evil. And when we rejected God, we accepted evil. And God said there must be justice for that because it is unrighteous and I am a righteous God. But I, being a loving father, will pay the price for that unrighteousness so that you may become righteous and become a child of the living God and live your life forever forgiven. But make no mistake, there is punishment being dealt out, and it was dealt out on Jesus. This is crazy. Here are these people now, the Benjamites, you can hear, oh, they have spies. They're just so dejected. They got their... Yeah, the Benjamites raped a girl to death. They wanted to have sex with men. It was horrific. You got to go back to the story. It was nutso. And they all participated. Who knows how many? It wasn't five guys. You're talking a city did it. Now it wants sympathy. Woke. Not true. We've got to do the right thing, guys. This is our brother over here. Listen, man's wisdom over God's is a bad idea. You're going to hear me repeat that. Man's wisdom over God's wisdom is a bad idea. Jesus even says it. Solomon writes it. What? That worldly wisdom, your wisdom, is a horrible idea. Colossians speaks about the wisdom of man, of what they think. They're tainted. We can't have wisdom without a Christ. What's the fear of the Lord is what? Because you and I can have no earthly wisdom. Why? It goes back to the garden. When Adam and Eve ate of the knowledge of good and evil, there is no way we are not wise enough with him to be able to comprehend what's good and what's evil. Because sometimes things that are good look evil to other people. Look at spanking your kids. I was teaching at a big conference, and I spoke about discipline, the difference between correction, discipline, and punishment. And these European chicks came up afterwards all pissed. Oh, you're talking about spanking? Oh, my God, you'll go to jail in Europe. Hey, frig, that's why I don't live in Europe. That's why we've saved you twice, you know? And I thought, where did you get that from? The Bible says this. And she made this reference of, well, maybe that was for then and not for today. Whoa. We got a problem. Now we got a problem. Now we got a problem, young lady. The Bible is for today as it was as for then and is for the future. God doesn't change the Bible for you because you're woke, because you have a televised programming that tells you what to think. This is what's taking place here. So they said, how can we get wives for those who are left? We have sworn by God not to give any of our daughters to them in marriage. Ah, the good idea fairy. You've heard me talk about the good idea fairy. This is the story within the story that tells us that not all of them were truly repentant. In the worship, watch. Which one of the tribes didn't gather before God at Mizpah? Somebody in the crowd brings this up again. It's deception. It's deceit. It's evil. Watch what they said. Turned out that no one had come to gathering from Jabesh Gilead. When they took a roll call of the people, not a single person from Jabesh Gilead was there. So the congregation, here's where the good idea fairy kicked in. The congregation said, well, they must be killed. We took an oath before God that they didn't show up to worship God. They're going to be killed, right? You know what we'll do? Watch. They sent 12 divisions of their top, 12,000 men of the top men, with their command, kill everyone at Jabesh Gilead, including women and children. Right? Now watch this, though. Those are your instructions. Every man and woman who has had sexual intercourse, you must kill. But keep the virgins alive. There's the plan. They swore an oath. I'm not saying that the oath was good, but they swore an oath before God that if the whole tribe doesn't come worship, those who don't come worship, we're going to kill. But somebody in the crowd, the good idea fairy, which I believe is going to be answering to God, and is probably answering to God today in separation from God. This person gets this, or a group of people get this idea that, hey, we'll use what we swore to God to get what we want. And we'll justify God because of our vow to God to get what we want. How many bad pastors we know do that? Bad politicians. Bad businessmen. They use loopholes. Gain profit. All of us are guilty of this stuff, and we have the propensity to do it if we're not following Jesus. They had found 400 virgins among those who lived in Jabesh Gilead. They had never had sexual intercourse with a man, and they brought them to the camp of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. They were only supposed to do what? The vow was to kill those, the women and children, kill everybody. They didn't show up, that's their deal. Now they're mourning Benjamin, because Benjamin's evil, and their tribe, they're mourning them because they don't have, they feel sorry for them because they don't have wives. But then this group didn't show up at a church meeting. The other guys committed rape and murder. These guys just didn't show up at a church meeting. So they justify, they're supposed to kill everyone, but they don't kill everyone. They say, save the virgins. Why? You could see how twisted this is. There had to be people in the group of Israel's day going, huh? There had to be a few people going, what are they talking about? Just like you and I sometimes sit around, we listen to laws that are being passed. We're like, what? What are you talking about? I'm dealing with that right now at the Country of Belief. The light bar on the top of my truck. I get pulled over at you have a permit for that? For a light bar? Yes, got to have a permit. Where do I get the permit? In Belmont at the transport department. Okay, so I make an appointment. I go there, right? I walk in there, I go, hey, I need a print for my light bar. You don't have to get the print for me. You got to go down to your local district and do that. So I go down to my district. District says, we can't give permission to get, we can't give you a permit for that. That has to be done in Belmont Pond. Yet there's a law passed, and no one in Belize knows how to do the law. Typical politicians. Knee-jerk reaction to something for votes. They have no idea, they're clueless. Clueless. Because the people that are supposed to be doing it have no idea how to do it. I just go, and then I tell them, so you're telling me that a person that lives in Corozal, that works in the fields, that has lights on their trucks, on farmers' roads, like the people in Toledo that drive around on these dark roads at night, dirt roads that are unkept by the government of Belize, that are supposed to keep them, we have to drive to Belmopan when you have a transport office here. What good is that person here then? That person has no authority. So I shouldn't receive a ticket here then from anyone here because they don't have authority. Only you have authority there. So all people should be dispatched or given. You see what I'm saying? This is what's happening here. These leaders got together and said, well, theoretically, let's not let the virgins go to waste. Snatch them up, and they found 400 virgins. They snatched them up. Then the congregation sent word to the Benjamites. Hey, brothers, we love you. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because the Benjamites are bad mother frickers. That's right, I said it. They're bad dudes, man. The Benjamites were warriors, experts with the sling, experts with the arrow, and expert with the sword. They were warriors. And not all of them died. And these other tribes were like, last thing we want these dudes to do is be pissed at us. They'll sneak in here at night and wipe us out. Hey, brothers, welcome back to the clan. Here's, by the way, we have 400 chicks for you. Right? Then the congregation sent word that Benjamin came. They gave the women that they had let live at Jabesh Gilead, the benevolent dictators, that they had let live. I thought you were supposed to kill everybody. What does it show? It shows us that sometimes man has a propensity to replace God with himself. I'll be the decision maker. But even then, there weren't enough for all the men. So the people felt bad for Benjamin. Woke, feeling bad again. I feel sorry for you, brother, you evil mother. The missing piece from the Israelite tribe. Now it starts to get worse. The reason why I shake my head is because I've done this. Not at this level, but we've all done this. We had a problem, and we just make the problem bigger because we don't just deal with the problem. We go out and actually make a bigger problem to cover up the other problem. Watch what happens. The elders of the congregation said, How can we get wives for the rest of the men, since all the Benjamite women have been killed? How can we keep the inheritance alive for the Benjamite survivors? What are they worried about here? Here's what I wrote. God's problem, not man's. This is not man's problem. Because how do you know that? There's nothing in here that says that God spoke to one of them and said, hey, you need to go get wives for these people. There's not one mention. God mentions that. If you read the Bible, he mentions it all the time. He'll send a messenger and say, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. There's not one mention. This is all man. This is all man. This is God's problem. God loves the tribe of Benjamin. There's a purpose for the... He'll provide the wives. This is where these other people have decided to replace God off the throne, and they're making their own decisions. Remember, in those days, Israel had no king or judge and did what they wanted. And they were using God to justify it. Here's the problem with that. Here's with our own lives. Is the rest of the world is watching. Now, don't be fake. I just strive not to be fake to any of you. This is what you see is what you get. But we also strive to be lovers of God, pursuing God, doing the right thing. What does God want? This is crazy here. So watch what they do. They said, how can we keep the inheritance alive, vengeance of survivors? My part is, you have your inheritance. God's inheritance for Benjamin, what is that concern to you? What you think about the problem with that question? Selfish. This is how I know it's selfish. Because they've already received their inheritance. What does Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin's inheritance, have to do with the other 11? Here's why. Because the other 11 want a piece. It's the greedy nature of man. Watch this. How can we prevent an entire tribe from extinction? Again, God's problem, not yours. We certainly can't give our own daughters to them as wives. It's got to be someone else's. We swore an oath. So let's go kill people and take their virgin daughters. The questioning here is comical. Right? Watch this. Remember, the Israelites had taken an oath. Curses anyone who provides a wife to Benjamin. Well, okay. Did you not just provide a wife to Benjamin? She may not be of your own blood. Listen to the reason. This is how Satan gets you to think. This is how the world wants us to think. So they're concerned with Benjamin because they're her brother to the rest of the tribe. Benjamin's part of the 12 tribes. They're family members, right? So they're family members. Yet they can't give their own family, so they'll kill family members to steal from them, to give to family members. It is hard to comprehend. But to them, it's rational thinking. It's a good idea. And the reason why I bring that up is for us. It's for you. It's for me. If it happened to them, it could happen to me. I can begin to rationalize things. I can begin to justify things. I can begin, without checks and balances, can begin to do things that may be dark. What's so scary is how they use. They said, you know, me, it's all about me, it's not about you. My family can't be touched. Their concern is totally selfish. In my opinion, their concern is all about the inheritance. It really is. It's all about the money. It's the land. If we cut Benjamin off, we're not going to have access to that. Wow. so we'll play God. Right? Then they said, there is a festival of God held every year at Shiloh. All right. Here we go. Gets better. It's north of Bethel, just east of the main road that goes up from Bethel to Shechem in a little south of Lebanon. Lebanon. So they told the Benjamites, go and hide in the vineyards. Now they're talking. They're on good terms. Right? Go hide in the vineyards. Okay? Here we go. Stay alert. Don't be partying. Yet when you see the Shiloh girls come out to dance the dances, run out of the vineyards, grab one of the Shiloh girls for your wife. Go kidnap her. Watch this. And then hightail it back to the country of Benjamin. That just sounds like God all the way. That is the instructions of Yahweh right there. I mean, that just screams Yahweh, doesn't it to you? Doesn't that just scream God, the goodness of Jesus Christ? Jesus, hightail it, run for, oh my gosh, that's cowardly. It's an act of cowardice. Satanic. Now we know where they're getting their wisdom from. And that's how we can say, when I tell you their altar was religious, had nothing to do with who they were. I still believe there was people in the group going, what did you tell them? I'm freaking going to my farm. I'm going back to the farm. I'm going back to the ranch. You guys are on your own. I'm not going to be a part of this. There had to be people. When I look at culture today, there's still people like that that just go, shh, I ain't a part of this. That's a bad idea, boys. And they go back and they pray. There had to be some people in there, I believe, that were that way. But you have to question it. Like, what are you saying? Hide in the vineyards, kidnap family. What? Okay. When their fathers or brothers come to lay charges against us, we'll tell them. Here it is. This is Satan. This isn't God. We did them a favor. After all, we didn't go to war and kill to get wives for men. What? You have to ask yourself that question. You have to go, why is this in the Bible? It's in there for you and I. So we don't repeat it. Because it doesn't have to maybe do with kidnapping. It has maybe to do with property. It has to do with taking advantage of somebody. It has to do, I don't know, with family members. There's something in here that you have to go, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't justify. It's what we're seeing in Palestine today. It's what you're seeing in Gaza today. They poke the bear, and the bear's fighting back. Now they're sorry for it. They had a good idea. They tried to justify it. I love what Netanyahu said. We'll go this alone. When America said, hey, we're going to pull our stuff, they said, fine, do it. We'll go it alone. Why? Because they understand they're not alone. In the deepest darkness of your despair, you're not alone if you're a child of the living God. You're not alone. It may feel alone, but you're not. You can still do good. You can still do good. You don't have to do evil. It wasn't as if you were in on it by giving consent. But if you keep this up, you will incur blame. Basically, they're coming to him and saying, you keep this up, then you're gonna justify us to kill you. It's like, seriously? Like, this? We see it all over. And that's what the Benjamites did. They carried off girls from this dance. The wives enough for their number. They got away and went home to their inheritance. They rebuilt their towns and settled down. From there, the people of Israel dispersed, each man leading back to his own tribe and clan, each to his own plot of land. And at that time, there was no king in Israel. People did whatever they felt like doing. Now, here's something that's important. One, first and foremost, the evil that took place, God can take bad things and turn it into good. And we see that later from this very tribe. I'm going to read you something. But these people became human traffickers. The spiritual invaded the natural. It's what they became. Because why? There was no king. And that very same thing happens to us when there is no king. That's why it's so important. Let me read this, pulled this up about Benjamin. The patriarch Jacob, sensing his impending death, gathers his sons to his bedside to bless them. Each son became a prognator of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Benjamin is the youngest, receives his father's blessings last. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. That's what it says, the tribe. He's a ravenous wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil, in Genesis 49. The warlike nature of the small tribe of Benjamin became well known and exhibited in their swordsmen, as swordsmen, Judges, Chronicles, and in their ungodly defense of their extreme wickedness in Judges. They were not only great warriors for God, they were great warriors for themselves and evil. Benjamin's blessing has three parts compared to a wolf. His blessing has two time frames, morning and evening. In his two actions, devouring and dividing, and two outcomes, prey and spoil. This sets up a type of before and after experience for Benjamin and his offspring. What's his inheritance? Spoils. Why was the rest of Israel worried about that? The spoils. It's part of the inheritance. If we eliminate that, we don't get to receive the wealth that Benjamin is so good at gathering. And we don't have to do the dirty work. Don't make this up. Scripture shows that at least four great people came from Benjamin's tribe, even though it was the smallest of the 12 tribes. First, Ehud, a great warrior who delivered Israel from Moab. We saw that in Judges chapter 3. Okay? So we saw a judge came out of there, a man of God. Saul becomes the first king of Israel. It was of the tribe of Judah, of Benjamin. Okay? In Jewish history, many Jews lived in Persia. God, listen to this, Mordecai is from the tribe of Benjamin. Mordecai and Esther. So we see that things that God won't let evil men stop his plan. What happened to those young girls, God repaid the world with good from what they intended to do evil with. And finally, we know this, the Apostle Paul affirms that he came from Benjamin. The Apostle Paul. I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, in Romans 11. Paul came from the tribe of Benjamin. I think that's where he got his tenacity. It's his inheritance. Remember that he was a brutal murderer before. Amen. He had that in it. Paul repeats this in Philippians. Yet Benjamin's tribe had a dark side. Their warlike nature came out not only in defense of their country, but also in depravity within their country. Man, they would use what they did to fulfill the lusts of their flesh. Benjamin takes up an offense against the other 12 tribes of Israel, and civil war ensues. They started a civil war. This period had the reputation of everyone doing what was right in his own eyes, which we've been saying. What led to civil war was the horrific abuse and death of unnamed Levite's concubine. The 11 tribes turned, and we just read that. In Jewish culture, the day begins at evening. Okay, it's important. Here begins the after. For Benjamin, his prophecy ends in the evening, the beginning of a new day in which he will divide the spoil. This has two aspects. First, through the Apostle Paul, who testifies, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. In the Apostle Paul, Benjamin's tribe had a citizen who served God mightily, as it says himself, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept my faith. Okay? But Benjamin's dividing of the spoil has another fulfillment in Revelation chapter 7. during the tribulation period, 12,000 men from Benjamin, along with 12,000 from every other tribe, will reach the world's population with the gospel. God doesn't exclude them from this. There's redemption and salvation. Watch, stick with me. We're almost done. The result will be a multitude of the saved that no man could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne of the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. Revelation 7, 9. Listen, more people are going to get saved by the 144,000 than all the work we're doing here. It's trippy. God is bringing back His people. And 12,000 of those are from the tribe of Benjamin. This was their. It's not how you start the race. It's how you finish the race. The second dividing of the spoil for Benjamin comes in the millennial kingdom, when they shall have a place in the land of Israel along with the gate that has their name on it in the city of Jerusalem, Ezekiel 48. They, along with the other tribes of Israel, will find the ultimate dividing of the spoils in the new Jerusalem, as each gate has a name of one of the tribes. Revelation 21. What a glorious finish. This is grace. Like, it's so horrific, yet there's grace in here. God's grace on the people. He will not let evil dictate how He lives His life or our lives. Though these people chose to do evil, God would not take it out on a girl that was trafficked and was forced, that from her great offspring would come, and He would shove it in the face of Satan. And in the end of days, what you look to destroy by My people, look at the name of the gate. Go ahead and look, Satan. Look at the name of the gate. You cannot take from Me. This goes back to John 10. Once you are in My Father's hand, no one can snatch you from it. When we are saved, we are saved. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not blotted out. It's preserved. Why? Because only God has the pen. And He'll present that. There's so many things I look at and go, man, I want to see it, and I don't know if I want to see it. I can just see Him holding the book up to Satan. Hey, we got eternity here. Click, 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 click. Oh, you thought you had them. Oh, page 2. Click, 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 click. Look at every name, every face, every name, every face, every name, every face, every name. They're all Mine. Remember what you did to this one? 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 Hey, look at them at the table eating. At My table. See My son right there? You see My son? You see Jesus? See the smile on His face? I'm telling you, God says to bring justice where there is no justice. We think that God just sits there, and when this is all said and done, He's not going to torment Satan. And I think He's going to rattle that cage every day. Seriously. He will prove to the world, over and over, to all of eternity, stuff that we cannot see. Hey! Snapshot! It starts here with us. When we don't participate with evil, but we fight against it. We start the torment against Satan. When evil and ill will is done towards us, and we do the right thing and we continue to fight, it torments Him. But mostly, it's our salvation and our trust in Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, our hope. It's crazy. Benjamin has two great truths to teach this tribe. First, God doesn't see as men see. I said that earlier, didn't I? This is God's problem, not yours. There's some things in this world that I just go, God, do you want me to do something? And He's silent. I love what Chuck Smith used to say. Where God is silent, or where the Bible is silent, so you must be silent. I get you. Right? For God looks on the heart. God saw a warrior inside of Benjamin. Outwardly, others saw him as the youngest son and his tribe as the smallest tribe. But God saw more. He saw a man who would both devour and divide. And again, we see that when you divide, it's not dividing necessarily. We saw the evil part of it where he divides a nation, but we also see that he divides the plunder to everybody. That's why they're so concerned. That's why I'm telling you, it was all about the cash, people. It's all about the cash. Votes today by politicians is all about the cash. Unfortunately, in the religious circle, it's all about the cash. Watch this. The second lesson for us lies in two Sauls. Right? Who came from the tribe of Benjamin. King Saul is the epitome of the sin nature and its war against God. King Saul was all about himself. He was all Benjamin. I will divide and conquer. I'm jealous of anyone who isn't of mine. I mean, it's crazy. Watch this. But Paul, who was Saul, whose nature was changed by God from a murderous Pharisee to the apostle of grace, out of the tribe of Benjamin comes the grace of God that utterly affects you and I today. Outside of Jesus Christ, there was no greater fighter of the faith, the doctrine of grace, than Paul. Paul is the example of what God does for those who come to Christ in faith. That is the end that we need. It's not how you start the race. It's how you finish it. And you got to finish it with our eyes on Jesus, guys. All those listening at home and you guys that are here, your faithfulness, I'm just saying, you may be struggling with these things. Always side with good. Make the hard right over the easy left. It's so hard. I'm with you. There are times it's like, man, we could take care of a lot of situations very easily, but it's not the right thing. We let it play its process. Guys, it's been a fun journey through Judges. It's been fun to see how every name of the judge was a type of Christ. And it's also very fun to see that on that this last few chapters of how it is a picture of the end of days and the heart of man in the end of days. But it also, I love how it finishes out in those days, but I love how the tribe of Benjamin finishes out. Because you can't just stop at Judges. It keeps going, right? We're in the book of Acts. You realize that the book of Acts has no end. You realize that? It's still being written. It's not going to be added to this book of the Bible that we know, but it's being written in heaven. And Paul finishes out Acts, right, as that redemptive grace of God in the tribe of Benjamin. And what is he dividing to us? Think about this. What is Paul dividing? The spoils of grace. The spoils of grace. And what did Paul do? Like a ravenous wolf, he devoured evil whenever it reared its head. He would devour it with intellect. Guys, we serve a beautiful creator who is scary. I'm scared to death of God. I love him so much. I love Yahweh, and I am afraid of him. Mostly I'm afraid of his great love. Because when he loves me in the midst of my pain or your struggles, it is such a powerful love that it's scary. That he looks beyond your fault and says, here's my grace. I just love you. I love you because of my son, Jesus Christ. So, amazing. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for grace. Lord, thank you that we put our hope and trust in you, Lord, that our life can be finished strong and well. Lord, may your blessings be upon everyone here, everyone at home. Lord, may your blessings be on the team, Tribal Mercies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You guys have a great Sunday. Go celebrate, right? Out from the jungle. Go celebrate Sunday.